And a very good afternoon to you and welcome to the number one talk radio station, Eagle FM Namibia. Sally J in studio on the brand conversation. I don't know what's wrong with me. Why do I always want to say good evening? But anyway, good day to you and welcome to the number one talk radio station. I'm Sally J here to keep you company, and that is until 1 o'clock, where we use this platform to empower ourselves, to motivate ourselves, to become better versions of ourselves. Now, yesterday we had a discussion about, you know, we were really looking at mental health and addiction, right? And we were supposed to get our guests in today, but unfortunately they could not arrive. And so we'll have to move that one to when our psychologist is available. I don't want to park that conversation at all, because I think it's really important for us to talk about addiction. But another thing that I want to touch on is still mental health. I've really been pondering so much on mental health in the workplace. And so specifically, we're going to be talking about depression in the workplace. We are going to be having that discussion. I'm going to be asking you as many questions as I always do. And I want to hear from you today in terms of, has depression or trauma or any related negative mental health, has it caused you issues at work? Have you ever been reprimanded, or have you ever lost employment due to side effects of depression or poor mental health? And how have you dealt with depression while working? So you're more than welcome to join in. The line is open for you. That is on 083-288-401. And you can also send me a message. That is on 1040. That is the SMS line, and it does cost $5 Namibian. But we are having a discussion about depression in the workplace, and I hope that we'll be able to, you know, add some value to each other's lives today. Now, I see Boyson Stanislaus. Stanislaus is joining in from Sokopmund. Hello. Live from Ongwediva, Christoph Candy. Thank you so much for making us your station of choice today. So join in today as we talk about, what do you think about depression at work? What do you think about, what are the effects of poor mental health at work? Now, one thing I will always start off with is that if you suffer from depression, you know, you may sometimes find it tough to perform certain tasks at home, tasks at work, and tasks that you need to do as part of your job. I think occasionally the way you're feeling may be so severe that you probably have found it difficult, to go to work at all. So first of all, I need you to know that it is important for you to know that if you feel like this and you're listening right now, I'm here to tell you that you are not alone, and I don't want you to feel ashamed. You shouldn't. You should not feel ashamed at all, because sadness, anxiety, loss of motivation, maybe difficulty concentrating, maybe you have unexplained moments of crying. These are just a small sampling of the things that you may be feeling if you are experiencing depressive symptoms at work. So think about it. Like, when you consider that full-time employees, you spend an average of 8 hours per day working on weekdays, right? Then we also have those that work on weekdays, and you work maybe 5 hours working on weekends and holidays. And that is really a huge majority of people, including myself. And I relate a lot to this conversation. And I think a lot of the ones that will relate to it are those of us that work from day into night and weekends. You know, those ones that work 7 days a week. The guys that work at the bank, the guys that work at the petrol station, the supermarkets. Like, holidays are always the part where I feel probably the most depressed, not only for myself, but those that are working during the holidays. And we have to serve those, because not everybody can be on holiday, right? Everybody has a role in life, and it doesn't make it any easier. So it comes as no surprise that many of you may have experienced symptoms of depression or maybe stress while on the job. So I would really love for you to listen on today to find out why work might be triggering depressive symptoms. How can we identify those signs? Where can we get help? And what you can do to start feeling better? So this topic is called work depression. And of course, it's always important for us to define what exactly that is. Now, while a job, because I don't want us to think that I'm here to like bash working. I'm not here to do that at all, but I'm here to really cater at those that feel like not getting up in the morning to go to work, because at the end of the day, you have to go to work, right? Bills have to get paid, but it doesn't make that journey any easier or any harder. So yes, while a job may not cause depression, sometimes the environment may be worsening symptoms for people who already live with depression. So if you think about it, any workplace or job can be a potential cause, or it can be a contributing factor for depression, really depending on the level of stress and available support at that workplace. I was looking at statistics under the World Health Organization, and they said that a negative working environment can lead to mental and physical health concerns, absenteeism, you may lose your productivity, and also you may increase substance use, which we spoke about yesterday. So depression is quite a complex condition with a varied manifestation of thoughts and feelings and behaviors that can affect anyone and everyone, and a variety of work and even non-work related factors might be at play, especially when we consider someone struggling with workplace depression. So up next, we're going to be looking at what are the signs of work depression. And I'd like to thank you so much for making Eagle FM your station of choice. The lines are open for us to have this discussion about depression and work stress, which we're also going to talk about so that we know the difference. So let's get into it. But for now, let's quickly pay the bills.
Shiwana jana mibia na nangecheva veshe monori no moshirongo washishe otanshivifira kucha pena manufactures ongecheva tadika monjila yakatana moshakati mekuku industrial area okwa kutifa ufila wepungu wonyo kamana no havala ndifa pa hosaila anangecheva ile ni milandelo ufila weni wonyo kamana tawadika mo 10 kg 20 kg 50 kg ufila to parifa landave ude omjo dingi denga ke no mola edi konora itatu nano hamano itatu hamano nano no lambali no eari ile konora hamano nano bari mbari oyi mwoyi natuno heari pena manufactures ongechapata yadika monjiro nene yakatana moshakati industrial area nota fifa ufila wepungu wonjo kamana batalela ponena
Oulio mnangeshefa na wahara kushivifa oma akuro ye kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enya mkuro olongaha Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali ohe tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Quarter past 12 o'clock and a very good afternoon to you and welcome to the brand conversation. You know, it's very interesting having this video thing on because I'm greeting you that is on air. I'm saying hi over there to Singandu, Johannes, Imelda from Swakopmund. Oh, Gabe's from Walfish Bay. We have Philemon from Okapja and Munene watching from Swakopmund. A very good afternoon to all of you and thank you so much for joining in. Now, for those who are just tuning in, we are talking about depression in the workplace. I'd love to hear from you in terms of, have you experienced, depression before? Have you experienced depressive moods at the workplace? How did you deal with it? Did you get reprimanded? How did your bosses react? Let's hear what you have to say. Eagle FM.
Good morning, madam.
Yes, my uncle.
How are you
doing? I'm okay, Uncle Bwana. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
That's good. Are you joining our topic for today?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Let me just take a minute and join those also.
Yes.
Take it there. So, yes, this thing is a cross-cutting issue.
Mm.
So, and it's also manifesting itself at all levels within the organization.
Mm.
So, we discovered that, recently we discovered that it does not respect anybody. And everybody is worried, everybody is so anxious.
Right.
And everybody is thinking of what is happening tomorrow. It's about uncertainty of life.
Mm.
And the fear compounded with the fear. There are so many things happening. Of course, we can label others and say, yes, those ones are mentally disturbed, they are whatever. You put all those kind of names.
Yeah.
Deformatory and all this kind of belittling others.
Mm.
But even when you look at the lower level, at the production level there, where this is where most of the I don't know whether you call it, what is it, mentally, what is it? Health,
like mental health, and, yes.
Depression and performance.
Yes.
So when you look at all the kind of structures that are there, some of them are creating and they are contributing to this depression in India.
Mm.
So the structures which are not responsive.
Mm.
So even when you look at the engagement of the roles that people play, not only in the secular world there, engagement, but even the role, the social, all the roles, combination of all the roles at the home and everything.
Mm.
Why can't you be depressed? Maybe at work one can be depressed or can be stressed because of the chain of command. The chain of whatever, the chain of command. So that might bring depression.
Mm.
But what about the depression and distress and all those things that you take from home or you take it to work?
That you take to work. That's,
and they are going
that
to
happens.
Affect other people.
That happens.
So they are going to open. So maybe the best way is to see how are we, do we have the ability to manage those emotional buffers?
Mm.
How do we manage them?
How do you do it, Uncle Bona? I mean, you know, where you work, it's quite a, you know, it's a very big organization, and I'm sure just working with gender issues must be stressful. How do you find that balance, you know, to kind of not let your emotions take over your work and just the productivity for you to be able to do all of that? How do you personally go through that, having been through so many things?
My sister, we struggle. There are so many things that the coping mechanism can be, I know they differ from one person to another, but we see you have to struggle on your own sometimes. So, of course, you can also rely on leadership and managers, but how often do they discover and spot out those impulses that you are passing through?
Mm.
It's very difficult. But that question is also very important because I was asking what some of those social workers, you know, how they are experiencing those kind of things. And I say, you guys, now you are relating your story to us and how to deal with those things, traumatized kids are raped and what and brutally in the environment. When you come home now, what kind of assistance do we give? Even at work, where they are working with you, how often do you capture them and put them at ease and they heal their own trauma, their own worries and all these things? Because they are already traumatized by exposing themselves
so
to those kind of things. How are you going to deal with this? So maybe it's a good question that people have to come and answer, those psychologists and others. So even the sociologists, they have to answer because their part is also in that element.
Very
not
true.
Only psychologists, maybe those other ones who have got a part to play. So it's a serious issue, mommy, or at work there. That's why people are fighting.
Mm. Thank you so much, Uncle Bona. I really appreciate it. Otoko njulapo kumeme.
Okay.
I'll send you her numbers.
Please try and grab the numbers. Yeah, they don't go through.
All right, my uncle. Thank you
Thank
so
you much.
God bless. All right, you too.
Good.
083-288-401. That is the studio line. Let's talk about mental health and, you know, being at work. How important is it to take care of our mental health while working? What are some of the struggles? What are some of your triggers? That's really the discussion that we are having today. We are talking about work depression. Now, the signs of work depression are similar to general depressive symptoms. Now, I'm no psychologist, so I'm basically going to be giving you just a brief, and then I'm going to allow the experts to do all the talking. We have a psychologist, Ms. Leandre. I had a conversation with her over the phone, and so I can't wait for you to just hear just a little bit there. But, you know, we are talking about work depression, right? Now, this may look more specific to a workplace setting. It could even be for those that are working from home. I think a lot of the people right now are going through it, especially those working from home. I was talking to a couple of my friends, those ones that are working in the banking industry, and that it is a little bit depressing working from home because you're not seeing a lot of people. And you know, we as human beings, we are very social. Those ones that are now also working at the offices, that's also a whole different setting. So I am having a conversation with both groups. Now, some of the more common signs of work depression include your anxiety levels are increased, especially when you are managing stressful situations or you're thinking about work when you're away from your job. There's also the overall feelings of boredom and maybe complacency about your job. Some people experience low energy, maybe a lack of motivation to do things, which can sometimes manifest as boredom in task. There's also, you know, that persistent, that prolonged feelings of sadness or a low mood. There's also, you know, loss of interest in tasks at work, especially duties that you previously found interesting and fulfilling. So that's also a little bit of a sign. Maybe you enjoyed, you know, doing your, counting your books and all of that, but then you go through this feeling where you've just lost interest. So that's also a big thing. There are people that are having feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, worthlessness, or even overwhelming guilt. There are some people that have an inability to concentrate or pay attention to their work task and trouble retaining or remembering things, especially new information. There are some people out there that are making excessive errors in their daily work. There are, you know, people that are having either an increase or a decrease in their weight or appetite. So you get some people that they say they eat their feelings or they starve their feelings. That's really what can happen as well. Things like headaches, fatigue, maybe an upset stomach or absenteeism or coming late or even leaving early. Decision-making capacity, that also becomes impaired. Maybe you start having, you know, becoming more irritated. Maybe you start becoming more frustrated. Your anger is increased. Maybe you are having crying spells or tearfulness at work with or without any apparent triggers. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping or even sleeping too much. And maybe you are self-medicating yourself with, you know, alcohol or any other substances. So that's just a list of a few of the things that work depression looks like. I don't want to scare you, but if any of these signs are relating to you, then we need to talk about where you can find help, which we will do at the end of the show. But I also want to add that if you are like me, I don't know. I feel like I'm very good at masking or internalizing what I'm going through. Sometimes I don't really put it out there, or if somebody asks me, and I think we are all like that. If somebody asks you, are you okay? And you'll be like, yes, I'm fine. But deep down, you know that you're not really okay. So if you're good at masking or internalizing these signs that I've mentioned, they might not be visible to your coworkers to be able to say anything, but there are also even some symptoms that they may be more likely to notice. And here are some of the other ones, that you might think are not a big deal. The first one is withdrawal or isolation from other people. Maybe your self-hygiene has become poor, or there's a significant change in your appearance. like I mentioned, absenteeism is a really big thing. Procrastination, you are missing deadlines. Maybe your productivity is reduced. Maybe you have a lot of forgetfulness or detachment or disinterest in things. Maybe there's an appearance of tiredness for most or part of the day. Like I said, that anger, that overwhelming feelings, that lack of confidence. So this could be why you might be depressed at work. But let's hear what you have to say. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm okay, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
That's wonderful. Are you joining our conversation today?
Yes, my darling.
Oh, wonderful. So we're talking about depression at work or poor mental health at work. What is your experience and take?
Oh, okay. Considering of the danger of the causes, right?
Yeah.
The affections.
Yes.
Yeah. The affections and the reason why most of these things are happening is because of lack of energy. Okay?
Okay.
One. And the same times, when I mean energy, is lack of sleeping, because that person is not sleeping, is not have enough of time for him to be relaxed.
For himself, self-care.
For himself.
Yeah.
It's so suffocated. Okay? Because when you are busy for less than 5 hours, now imagine for 1 hour, you don't have a rest, proper rest. You came home, you are working all day you work, and then you came maybe midnight, you are off. For example, for people are working for 12 hours in a day, they should know that you're only off midnight. Let's say 10 o'clock, half past 11, you. And then the second thing is that for people who are having food, like healthy, neighbors,
junk food.
Junk food, yeah. You understand? In fact, some managers or supervisors think are allowing people who are maintaining food, even just to taste and eat. You only have time for you to eat after customers are out. Okay? These are those part of the particular area for food junkies are supposed to gain their workers because they're human beings. They also need to taste. Because you can't cook a food, you yourself are not tasting. How do you know that that food is tasting? And you cannot serve people the whole time you're serving. Nobody is also serving you. Or neither you yourself, you are serving yourself. So self-suffocation can also react in a manner to make your psychological system become very tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, your brain. Your brain needs a time to rest.
That's true.
You see? Your body. Because these are bodies that will make you to be, build you the economic you want. To build you to wear the cloth you want, the food you want, the house you want. Now, you as the manager, you are collecting money from these people. They become slaves. But you give them back what they become slaves to.
Yeah.
The energy they are using, the time that they are using, they wake up in the morning time, they leave their children, they leave their whatever they doing, just because they want you to be there.
Yeah.
Today you are there. Are you giving them the time to rest? And only December, how many days do you give them December to go for rest? You understand? So tiredness comes when you lack of one side is not fitting the body. You sleep at work, you tired, you are stressed, and you do not feel even good because why? Your salary is not enough. And at the end of the day, all these things you think, you go home back, you are going late. You have to cook. You have to do all these things. And then when you wake up early in the morning time, the time is short.
Yeah.
You by the time you reach 10 o'clock, you really wake up in the morning time, whatever you take is another 2 hours for doing cooking, taking care of whatever you do. And then when you sleep, it's already 6 o'clock. Now you have to wake up 5 o'clock to go work.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are caused problem to the society and to the working place, because they will make you not to be able to function proper. And the body needs to function proper, the brain needs to function proper, the eye, the feet, the whatever part of your organ, your ego, they have to function proper.
That's
otherwise
true.
They won't able to do what you can do. If you, for example, you are 10 years, you are 25 years, you start working. By the time you reach 50, look at the distance between 5 years this way. So all those years you are busy. That's why most time you don't have time for your children. You don't have time for your family. You don't have time for your friends. You don't even time have for yourself. So this way, if we all want this thing to be reduced, we have to give also spaces so that the worker, they can able to come early in the work. They can able to have that rest. Yeah. And also, the same time, to reduce these things, get employers, make more shops. Shops, different areas.
You, sir. I do.
Yeah, different areas, and then employ, shift the people, not to be working. One place is working for 40 years, 50 years in one side, try to bring somebody, give him somewhere where he can fit again from, because he's already tired. Yeah, so that was, I wanted to support you on that.
Thank you
and
so
then
much.
And for those who are also have that, please let us try to help each other in the best way. Because all of us, we are human beings.
That's
we
true.
Get tired, we get frustrated, sometimes
true.
Even start to swear.
Yeah.
Because why? The manager swears because he's tired of talking.
That's
the worker starts swearing because he's tired of boss. What is this?
This
all these things comes because of the chaos comes in the working place because of this type of attitude and mentality.
So
thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. Please take care.
All right.
Wow. I really, really loved what the gentleman added there in terms of, you know, looking at all the contributing factors. And he even touched on just our eating, you know, like when you are constantly, like when you're not making your own homemade meal, and when you are serving others and you don't get that reciprocation, it can get very depressing. And there are various reasons why you may be dealing with, you know, an increase in depressive symptoms at work. And while no two people or experiences are the same, you know, there are some common themes that seem to emerge when we are pinpointing the causes or triggers of signs of depression at work. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but there are some situations that may contribute to work, like feeling like you have no control over work issues. Maybe you're feeling like your job is in jeopardy, especially with this COVID-19. Oh, that part alone is so stressful. Maybe you are working in a toxic work environment, or maybe you are being overworked or underpaid, or perhaps you're experiencing harassment or discrimination at work, or working irregular hours, or like the gentleman said, lacking a balance between work and home, or maybe you are working in a setting that isn't matching your personal values, or maybe you are doing work that doesn't further your career goals, or perhaps experiencing poor or unsafe working conditions. These are all things that are happening in Namibia, right? On an everyday, we've seen all of these stories. We've seen people going through COVID-19 and their job is in jeopardy. We've seen people working in toxic work environments. We've seen people being overworked or underpaid. People that are being harassed or discriminated against. People that are working irregular hours, my apologies. People that are working in poor or unsafe working conditions. These are things that can break a person down. And you may not even notice it because, you know, we are calling it, that's the struggle of life. You know, that's the life and that's how we must struggle. But at the end of the day, we need to acknowledge that this is impacting so many people's, you know, mental health. It may be stress or it may be depression, work stress or work depression, because it's not uncommon to experience stress at work, right? But I don't want you to ignore the feelings of that depression or that stress. So it's really important for us to know the difference. When we are talking about work stress, I'm talking about stress that You know, it like, it decreases in intensity. You know, it's occasional feeling anxious and irritated, an occasional muscle tension or headaches. But when we are talking about work depression as what we are talking about today, I'm talking about this person that has been feeling sad and crying for a prolonged time. I'm talking about those persistent feelings of anxiety. I'm talking about, you know, you've seen that it's been months that you have a lack of focus and concentration. I'm talking about how you've been feeling bored and not fulfilled in your job. So no matter where you work, managing those symptoms can be challenging. And I hope that we are opening up a conversation for this very topic. Let's hear what you have to say. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Yeah, I think I want to add you one question, one thing that you did on your question that you asked me.
Okay, Uncle Bona.
So the issue of, so do we normally put a budget there specifically to address those problems?
Like mental health at businesses?
Yes, those stresses and other things.
You know, that's a very good question, Uncle Bona, and I'm sure I can answer for many and say that maybe we have, but it's maybe not enough.
Yeah, so if we have it, then it shouldn't be an occasional thing, you understand?
Yeah.
If you do it only at the end of the year, and the people are performing, it's a good thing. Mm. Because I've heard people complaining about, you know, people went to this thing, some of the leaders, they took their employees at a certain place, just a retreat, just to refresh and re-energize them and things like that, so to heal them. So are we having those kind of deliberate, or is where people will be complaining, no, this money, why did you go to that lodge, why did you go to this thing? Isn't it something very important, because it's going to boost out the productivity?
I hear you,
so thank you very much.
Thank you, Uncle Bona. Thank you. 083-288-401. That is the studio line if you would like to join in. We're talking about poor mental health while working. I know that, let me just say it. I know that we, all of us as a collective, you know, in this country or wherever you are listening from right now, I know that as employees, and employers, or just as a society in general, that we may be like hesitant to speak up about mental health issues, because we have a fear of being, you know, unfairly judged. We are worried that it may lead to, you know, our job status being reduction in our job status. Maybe we have a fear that we might, you know, lose future opportunities at that job or termination. But, you know, as we are bringing this awareness and we are spreading this awareness, I hope that as you're listening right now that the conversation is changing, because this is a very important one. Because depression, ladies and gentlemen, it can make it so hard to deal with certain aspects of your life. And on a global scale, I looked it up. It said that it's one of the leading causes of disability. So today it's all about learning more about depression and work on, and on how we can get that help. Because it's very important to know that depression can happen at any time in your life. And if we're looking at the diagnosis of depression, it is on the rise, especially when we compare it to our past generations. So I just want to make note that depression isn't just feeling sad for a few days. Typically, a person shows signs of depression for 2 weeks or longer, and these signs can vary in severity. Now, the thing about workplace depression is that it is one of the top problems, and it is because employees, we are afraid of the effect that it could have on our job or that our privacy is at risk. So if you are suffering from depression, or if you are feeling overstressed, you may sometimes find it tough to, you know, perform some tasks that you need to do as part of your job. And I'm sure occasionally the way that you're feeling may be so severe that you probably find it so difficult to go to work. So in today's show, we are looking at how and why depression can impact your work life and how your job can affect your mental health. I'm also going to outline some steps that you can take if you're struggling to focus at work as a result of that depression. So let's hear what Miss Leandre has to say, but let's quickly pay the bills and then I will be back to give you more. Stick around.
If we were not a reliable and trustworthy medical aid service provider, we might have told you impressive tales about superior products that sound too good to be true, which, when you could least afford it and was at your most vulnerable, would turn out to be just that. Too good to be true. But we prefer to tell you the truth, and then we deliver on it, without excuses, without referring you back to the fine print, without avoiding eye contact or uncomfortably claiming to have someone else on the line. Because nhp.com.na, we're about you.
Okay. All right. So coming up is Miss Leandre Kurtz. Now, she is a psychological counselor based here in Windhoek, and she's going to be talking to us about depression. Now, I had this conversation with her in preparation for today's show. So let's hear what she has to say. Your comments are more than welcome. I will be reading them, and then we'll get back to give our final thoughts. Here she is.
Our resilience and how vulnerable again we are to developing it.
So, you know, part of the misconceptions is that we think that they are, you know, sad all the time or that they are very lazy. So what does being depressed feel like, or what are some of the signs and symptoms of depression?
Okay. So when we go through a formal diagnosis of a patient with depression, when you suspect they have depression and you've done the background check to see whether the risk factors check out, and then you look at what the person is presenting with, what their problems are, there are two very important things that all depressed patients have, either both of or at least one of the two. And the first one is, they have a depressed or a low mood, but it's not for one day or for 1 hour. It's most of the day, almost every day, for at least a 2 week period. It can be longer, but it needs to be at least for 2 weeks for the person to meet the diagnosis of depression, right? But it can't only be that one alone. It has to meet some other symptom criteria as well. But now the second one is a loss of interest in pleasure or activities that the person previously enjoyed. So that means that a person who has low mood and a person who has lost interest or pleasure in activities that they previously enjoyed, that person is going to look like someone who's not interested, someone who doesn't have the drive, someone who doesn't engage, someone who just wants to be left alone. So you can already see there how that may fuel some of the misconceptions, because people may think that this person is doing it deliberately. But the fact is, their mood drains their energy so much that they can't function the way that other people would function. Now, some of the other symptoms of depression that also add to the low energy is that this person may stop eating, or they may not have appetite, which can lead to low energy levels. This person may struggle with sleeping, which can lead to low energy, or they can be tired all of the time, meaning they sleep too much or most of the time. Inability to concentrate may lead someone to make mistakes or may make them feel like a failure, which means that they eventually withdraw and stop doing things anyway. And there's also a sense of hopelessness that makes people not care about what's happening around them, because they feel like nothing can get better, there's no future. So you can see, like, those are only some of the symptoms of depression that I've mentioned there. But if you as an outsider look at this person and their behavior, it can be very easy for you to think that this person is lazy, or they're just being deliberate and they don't want to cooperate.
Leandre, would you say that, or let me maybe ask, like, in your opinion, why do so many people have depression nowadays compared to back then? Because I was looking at some statistics, and it seems that, you know, it has become quite prevalent in our society now than ever. In your opinion, why do you think that is the reason?
I think there are a number of reasons for that. The first could be that it might have been more prevalent in the past than we thought, simply because many people didn't have access to mental health treatment, so many people went undiagnosed, right? So that could be one of the reasons. It might mean that the people have been there, but they weren't diagnosed. But then on the other hand, looking at the causes of depression, it might be that the coping resources are not, we don't have enough coping resources to deal with the level of stress and the demands of the time that we are living in. People are more isolated. With technology, there's a lot more going on, a lot of self-comparison to other people. There's an economic crisis mm-hmm. around every corner. Disease is spreading. For example, look at COVID-19 now. I mean, those are all factors that can be major, major stressful life events. And it might be that it's difficult for people to cope, to reach out for help. With social media, we are less connected than we used to be. People used to sit around the fire and tell stories. That in itself would be a form of counseling for difficulties. Families talking to one another, that would have been a form of counseling. So a lot of things have changed, and they have changed very, very fast. And I think that might be a very significant consideration when it comes to the increase in prevalence of depression.
Yeah. So how is depression diagnosed and treated?
So basically, depression is never self-diagnosed. It is always diagnosed by a mental health professional, right? So in Namibia, that would be either your doctor, your GP, who will then refer you to a psychiatrist or to a psychologist, of which those two will confirm the diagnosis, or it will be diagnosed by a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And there is a guiding criteria that is used to diagnose depression. It depends on the severity of symptoms. That means if the internet tells me that there are 9 symptoms of depression, I don't go and tick those 9 symptoms and say, I have depression. Maybe I have depression, but then I need to have it verified by a professional, because the duration is important and the severity is very, very important. And also, if one diagnoses yourself, you might end up feeling that this is the end of your life because you don't know what to do about it. Right. So the 9 symptoms are the ones that I've been mentioning throughout. But the treatment for depression, now there are many forms. There are biological treatments. That means using of medication or drugs. These are usually antidepressants, and they have to be prescribed by either a medical doctor who specializes in psychiatry or who has a very strong interest or experience in the field, or by a psychiatrist. Mm. And the medication is then used to help regulate emotions, to help improve sleep, to help improve appetite, and so forth, to help the person to start feeling better. Now, there's also psychotherapy, which is what most people probably call counseling. And the idea with psychotherapy is to help the person work through the challenges that may be contributing to the depression. But not only that, there are some theorists that say the way in which we see the world affects how we feel and how we think and how we behave. And sometimes our life experiences make us see the world in a way that is always threatening, always disappointing, and always negative. So we have a mindset that we develop. But in therapeutic terms, we talk about cognitive biases and fixed beliefs that guide us to believe that things are a certain way, that is often making us feel hopeless about the way things are. Right. So therapy helps us to work on the way that we think about life, and it also helps us to feel empowered, to take control, and it also helps us to be in a better space to help ourselves and to manage depression. It doesn't mean it always takes it away or removes it. And sometimes we rely on medication as well, but there are different forms of therapy. So we have what we call cognitive behavioral therapy. Yeah. We have psychodynamic therapy. We have behavioral activation. We have interpersonal therapy. Now, those are just big words that I'm using, but the therapist that you go to, the psychologist or the psychiatrist, will have their preference in terms of how they work.
I see.
And they will determine which approach to take to help with the depression.
You know, I'm so happy that you mentioned that depression is not something that you can self-diagnose, because mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, as you were, you know, describing what it feels like, I was diagnosing myself, and I can imagine mm-hmm. that there are, you know, more people that are perhaps, you know, taking that burden and mm-hmm. diagnosing themselves. So I really want to thank you for just answering that. And I think it also gives a little bit of reassurance. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to go back to, you know, just, I think just the importance of really encouraging people to not, how can I say, kind of feel overwhelmed when they are hearing this type of information, and to not self-diagnose themselves, because does it not actually even lead you into some form of depression when you try to take that burden by yourself?
I think it can be very overwhelming and difficult to deal with, but I'm thinking about quite a number of things as you are talking, Sally. Hey,
yeah.
I think it is very important that we don't self-diagnose, because we might think that our challenge is we might think that we have depression when in fact we don't. And what the danger with that is that we might not take it seriously when someone who really has depression makes a cry out for help, or when they really face challenges. And that is when we start saying insensitive things like, just get over it. It's not that bad. Mm. I also struggled with that problem, because the fact of the matter is we all go through difficult times in life.
Yeah.
We all face challenges, and we all have things that really hurt us deeply, deeply. And these things can make us feel as though at certain times we are depressed or we have depression. So the danger with that is I might go through a difficult life event that is challenging, and I struggle to adjust, but I don't necessarily have depression as a result of it. So when I think, oh, I got over it, the next person should too, that adds to the stigma and the myths and the misconceptions about mental health. No?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
Oulum nangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma kuro yokupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuro olongaha ningekwatafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita twimwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tunatu bali ohetatu batatu ne nola no natu nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa
Eagle FM, the I.
And that is Miss Leandre Kurtz from Blossom Psychology. And if you're just joining in, I hope that you have found some value in what we have spoken about today, which is work depression. Now, on the whole, if you think about it, I don't think I have to think about it, but, you know, work is a place that can drive positive mental health, right? It's supposed to give us purpose and motivation and satisfaction when we achieve something that we've worked for. But, you know, on the flip side, work can also be a place of our stress reaching levels that we never thought could reach. Right? I think that's the best way I could put it. You know, it is a place of those high levels of stress and anxiety, and it is therefore having a negative effect on many people's mental health. Your job might not be the direct cause of depression, but a negative or toxic work environment can also add and make your depression symptoms worse. I was looking at some statistics from the World Health Organization, and they were talking about that work depression can lead to physical and mental health problems. Depression can also cause people to isolate themselves, to worry excessively about getting work done, or feeling guilty about letting other people down. They can also find it difficult to even talk about how they feel at work, because we have, you know, made people feel so ashamed, and because we judge them. So yes, how do I know it's depression? Now, like Miss Leandre was saying, that most people will feel down or sad at work at some stage, right? These feelings are entirely normal. But what's important is that you are aware of the symptoms of depression so that you can recognize when your feelings are moving into a more damaging territory and act if you need to. It's also very important to recognize when your feelings might be, you know, work stress rather than depression. Typically, yes, we should be able to identify the cause of our workplace stress, right? Maybe it's an upcoming presentation, or maybe you have a tight deadline, or maybe you just had a really long working day. Now, when that trigger passes, your feelings of stress should pass too, right? But now depression, on the other hand, is characterized more by an increased feeling, like Ms. Leandre said, of sadness and guilt. And sometimes it comes without any explanation. You know, you might lack motivation and focus in your role. You might be asking, okay, but Sally, now when should I look for help for work depression? What I say is, if your feelings of depression, if they don't seem to be going away, if those feelings that we have spoken about today, if they are not going away, then it is important for us to look for help. And I want to give you a guide, especially to the managers out there, business owners, you know, those that are working as well. I want to give you just some advice. I only have 3 minutes to give that to you. Learn about the disorder. First things first, learn about this disorder. If you are listening today and you own a business or you are working for a business, then you have done yourself a great deal. You have broken down barriers that a lot of people are not going to be able to do. The fact that you are listening right now and you are learning about this and you are taking the time to take in this information, it means that you have brought yourself to a better place than what most organizations have. You know, it would be easy to think that an employee with depression will first speak with HR, right? About work accommodations, but it is likely that one of your colleagues will probably speak with you first. And because an employee may come to you without warning, you know, business owners out there, you need to prepare ahead of time and you need to start learning about depression and its symptoms. You know, these include, like I said, a loss of interest, maybe as decreased energy, maybe it's feelings of low self-esteem or control or poor concentration. So if you understand the symptoms of depression, then you will be able to anticipate the work performance issues and maybe the type of accommodations that an employee might request. It's about being a leader right now, right? Because coping with depression, it's already so difficult. Not only for the person with depression, but also for those with whom that depressed person is interacting with. So you should be attentive to how interacting with a depressed employee might make you feel. Ask yourself questions like, does such a situation make you feel angry or frustrated or diminished in your role? And if that is so, then remind yourself, my apologies, that the person with depression is dealing with symptoms that make every day a struggle. So this is not about you. I don't mean to say that rudely, but this is not about you. This is about how you as a manager can step up and help your employee. Because keep in mind that depression is an illness, ladies and gentlemen. It is an illness. And in most cases, it is also time limited. So by helping your employee with depression, by helping your colleague with depression, you help your team, your company, and also demonstrate strong leadership. So it is time for me to go, unfortunately. It's time for me to get out of here and make way for the rest of the team. I hope that I have given you some value, you know, to add to your life today as a career person, as somebody that is working on their personal brand, somebody that is working towards greatness. I hope that I've added some value to your life today. I hope that listening to this conversation, that you walk away not feeling ashamed because of how you feel, not feeling judged because of what our opinions are, because of what you're feeling. I hope that you walk away feeling confident that there are a lot of people that are going through the same thing, but that you don't feel alone and that you feel empowered to seek for help. Keep following the brand conversation. I will continue doing this till the last. Air wave is in the waves. You see, my English always starts depleting. My English always starts depleting whenever we're coming to the end. But do stay tuned for On the Radar, your latest news updates coming up. And you can also wait for the rest of the team that will be giving you more. I will see you later tonight. That is on Off the Hook from 11 until 2. Please take care of yourselves. I will see you later. Valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken, some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers,
limit or avoid travel, and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer, and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM.
Matukirane na ponge shefata dirandura ukira ndere omaigo njuhuago walenga eggs. O maigo walenga eggs otaga adika ponge shefanga shi Dome Dogs, Rani Tradings, Basic Mini Market, Amta, Farmers Market, o shop o face of fresh produce. Kuyerere dengira kondura getatu imwe, mbali heari, ndatu hamano mbali mbali. Walenga eggs, ongushu yago, umatoke rekamana.
Walenga eggs, the great white.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye.